Go with me to John chapter 16, but on the slide, Joe, if you'll put slide one. Today we're talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever seen this sign before? Yeah, yield right of way. Some of you might need a sign like this, slide two. You might need a slide like this, a sign like this to get your attention. Yield. This past week, I'm not calling any of you jerks, okay? Don't get mad at me. There are just some people, when an ambulance is coming down the road and you're driving, you don't slow down and then drive with the ambulance and wave at them. You just pull over to the side, okay? You got to yield to an ambulance. There's some people that I understand when you're running late. You got to get somewhere and you're running late, and that might be a problem. But I also saw this during a funeral. Cars were coming, the funeral procession was coming, and then cars were just zooming right by. I'm thinking, this is a two-lane road on Highway 17. I'm like, are you serious? Okay, you know, some people would say you have to honor the dead. I mean, the dead, they're gone. They're not going to complain. But you honor the living, those who are mourning because of that loss. And so sometimes people, they need a knock upside the head about these yield signs. So maybe that sign, give way, jerk, is a sign that they need to see. But today, I'm not calling you jerks. I don't think the Holy Spirit's calling you a jerk. But if he is, take it. The Holy Spirit, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit, who he is, the importance, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus talks about that. And now let me just ask this. How many of you can remember what we preached about last month? Raise your hand. You can remember what we preached about last month. Some of you are going to be like, I'm not raising my hand because you're going to call on me. I'm not calling on anybody. I just want to know how many of you remember. Because sometimes I think Shannon and I, we need to re-preach re-preach a message that we preached. And I told the Holy Spirit a long time ago, Holy Spirit, Lord, I'll preach last week's sermon if you really want me to. I heard some preachers do that from time to time because people forget. So I'm not sure how many of you remember what we preached about last month. Anybody want to shout out what it was? Rooted. Good. Awesome. Rooted. To be rooted in Christ. Colossians 2, if you forgot, you're taking notes. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. To be rooted in Christ, to be built up in Christ, and to be established in the faith, and to increase or grow in the teaching that you receive, and to do so with thankfulness. Andrew Murray, he's a South African writer, teacher, and Christian pastor. Of course, he lived a long ago. He said this, your first business in life is to become the man or woman of God that God wants you to be. If you commit to do that, you will never regret it. How many regrets do you have in life? Anybody have any regrets, certain things that they've done? Like, man, I wish I never would have done that. See, this month we focus on yielding to the Holy Spirit. You see, we must learn. I repeat, we must learn. I can't force you. Matter of fact, God doesn't want to force you. Because if he forces you, then it's really not a love relationship between you and him. You must see the importance of this. And so we must learn to live effective lives as Christians, Christ followers. We are to understand who the Holy Spirit is and learn to yield to him. Christ said that it was vital for him, for the Holy Spirit to come. For he is the one who helps us in our walk and fellowship with the Father. Merriam-Webster says, it's a simple definition of yield. It says, to produce or provide something as a plant or crop. To produce something as a result of time. To produce a profit, an amount of money. But the full definition of yield is to give or render as fitting, rightfully owed or required. I'm no longer my own. I'm Christ's, and I live for him. I need to yield myself to him. And Jesus tells us in a little bit, we're going to read that John chapter 16. It was vital for him to send the Holy Spirit. And so now the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And it is of great importance that we learn who he is. That we learn to yield to him, that we learn to walk in step with him as he is walking. And if he stops, then we stop. But we are to learn how to do that. We have to learn who he is. It's important that we render, that we give up, or that we wait. Because the Holy Spirit's going to produce something in us Of course, we know, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. You bear those fruits because you're yielding to Him. Instead of going off on someone, you're going to demonstrate love and kindness and gentleness. It's because you're yielding your mouth, you're keeping it shut, so that the Holy Spirit can do what He wants to do in you and through you. That's all because you're yielding to Him. You know, many people don't know or understand that the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that Jesus spoke about and how vital or how expedient it was for the Holy Spirit to be sent by Jesus. Christians, know the Spirit of God and learn from Him. And I pray that this month you'll be learning to know how to yield. What does that mean, Pastor Rick, to yield? Well, we're going to talk about that. But before we talk about and give you some ideas or examples of what it looks like to yield to the Holy Spirit, you got to know if He's worth yielding to. Amen? So John chapter 16, verse 7 through 5. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. It is expedient. It is vital that I go away. This is Jesus talking. It is to your advantage that I leave, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, I'm not sure in your Bibles that it should be capital H. It probably is. The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. This is Jesus talking. So the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, for the Holy Spirit will take of what is Jesus and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, says Jesus. Therefore, I said that the Holy Spirit will take of mine and declare it to you. Father, we thank you for your word. Let us speak truth and wisdom and knowledge to us that we would receive it so that we would not deceive our own selves. Amen. The Barna Research Group, if you ever have some time and you're on the internet, barna.org, there's a lot of research that they've done. They've done it by polling people and asking questions. But Barna Research says that 80% of Christians don't realize or understand who the Holy Spirit is. Wow. What? 80% of Christians don't realize or understand who the Holy Spirit is. Let me just ask this real quick because it just came to my mind. Those of you that have a job, if 80% of the employees in that place, in that workplace, do not have an idea of what they're doing, how long will they last there? Just picture this. If you're on an airplane, 80% of the air pilots of American Airlines don't know how to fly a plane. You better know Jesus. 80%. Crazy. See, listen, you have the Bible, the Word of God, the living, true Word of God. And God has given you time to learn of His Spirit. We don't have an excuse. 80% of Christians don't realize or understand who the Holy Spirit is. I'm wondering, who are these Christians that they're being polled these questions? Maybe many here today, maybe some of you might give too much credit to self-esteem. You give too much credit to willpower. You give too much credit to your wit instead of realizing that it is God's Holy Spirit that is the one behind what you know, what you can do, and the reminding to do what is right in the time, in those moments when doing wrong is easier and very convenient. We need to recognize our helper. A lot of people, they put it to their wit, or I'm just so smart, or I just got it all of that. I'm just so good. And the pride level just comes up, and they don't realize it's the Holy Spirit. Get off of yourself. I mean, listen, stop. There are men in this room. I just want to tell us, I'm one of them. We need to stop allowing pride that we could do it and that we don't need any help. We need to stop allowing pride to take all the credit or to keep us from truly knowing who the Holy Spirit is. Take off your tool belt, guys. The Holy Spirit is your helper. The Holy Spirit is the one that will teach you and lead you into all truth. Who cares what you know? I mentioned earlier in Sunday school because Brian was talking about maps. And I said, hey, I don't get lost. I wish I could take that back because there have been times that I did get lost. Yeah. So there are times that I did get lost. It's a tragedy, though. We think of ourselves so that we're all that. Maybe you're here today. You think that you have it all going so well. You don't need to draw closer to Jesus. You already know him. You don't need to pursue him closer. You already did that last week. You don't need to memorize scripture because you already got John 3:16. Get over yourself. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to God. And I say men because us as men, we have, I'm not saying that there are no women that have a problem with that, but the great majority, the problem is with men. Men, let go of that pride. It's keeping you from knowing who the Holy Spirit is. Whew. We need to recognize who our helper is. We need to recognize who the Holy Spirit is. What did Jesus mean when he said, "It is to your advantage that I go away so that the helper could come to us"? We know that Jesus was speaking to the disciples, but the helper, the comforter, was not just for them. It's for him. It's for us today as well. It's for us today. Within the context of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the advocate, the helper, he is for every believer. But according to Barna Research, there are a lot of believers that are walking blindly and aimlessly, not walking in the real truth, because the Holy Spirit is the one that will lead you into all truth, the perfect right truth. No wonder so many people get in trouble, because we take our eyes off of who the real leader is or who the real helper is, because we think we're the ones that know it all. How many of you are making it your first priority to become the man or woman of God that he created you to be? If you are, praise the Lord. Let it be contagious. Let it affect other people. In Jesus' name. But if not, I'm telling you, you're going to fall short. Falling short and missing the mark. Of course, that's what sin is. You fall short. Romans 3:10 says, "For there's none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23, "For we all fall short. We miss the mark." It's funny when I watch the top five mistakes in NBA or whatever, when guys are trying to dunk, and it's funny when some of them try to dunk and the ball doesn't even go past the rim. The ball hits the rim and they fall. They missed the mark. They didn't even get it in. They fell short. How many of you will commit this month to learn what it means to yield to the Holy Spirit? Because we could preach these sermons, and in the month of June, we can go ahead and ask that same question I asked a little while ago. How many of you remember what we preached in May? What we talked about in May? Oh, I forgot. You forgot because you didn't apply to it. You forgot because you didn't commit to it. You see, some of you probably forgot that's right. We did talk about being rooted in Christ. Where are your roots? Where are you? Who are you rooted in? Where are they? How shallow of a Christian are you? I mean, you might say, well, hey, take it easy. I'm a young believer. Okay, young believer for 8 years, there's a problem there. But a young believer for about a year or so, okay, I can understand. But are you committed to being rooted in Christ, built up in him? A lot of you are built up in yourself. That's dangerous. Be built up in Christ. Grow. It be established in the faith and grow continuously in the truth. If you are already committing yourself becoming the man or woman of God that God wants me to be, that's my number one priority. If you're already doing that, then great. Commit to take it up a notch. Janine was talking to us yesterday in praise and worship about just taking it up a notch, really pursuing God even so much more. When I was in military, when I was in the Marine Corps, they taught you how to march. And I thought, really, do people really need to know how to march? This poor guy, I felt sorry for him. Of course, at that time, I wasn't a believer, so we all made fun of him and laughed at him. But I felt sorry for him now because the guy needed help to learn how to march. And when we marched, everybody in your rank, the four people in your rank, your left foot went at the same time. It's the coolest thing whenever you see it, where they're walking in unison. The left foot, everybody's left foot is going up at the same time. Everybody's right foot is going up in the right time, and it's hitting the ground. And this poor guy, he would march like this, and his arms wouldn't move. And that drill instructor would slap. Of course, this was in 92. I don't think they lay hands on recruits anymore. I don't know. They probably got soft. But this guy's hands would be red because the drill instructor, some of them would come up and just swat his hand from the side because he had to learn to walk in step and to use your peripheral vision to just walk and pick up your left, but to also move your left and right arm. He needed to learn how to march. You need to learn how to march in unison with the Holy Spirit, yielding to him that when he stops, you stop. When he goes, then you go and you march with him and you walk in line in unison with him. You need to learn that. I hope that you're going to commit to doing that. Because we're not preaching this just to preach to the walls. We need to learn. The Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit wants to help us. So we can't allow anything to get in the way. You know, there's a phrase that it's kind of funny. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. But in the spiritual sense, that is totally wrong. That is totally wrong. Because someone who gives their life to Christ at an older age, too bad, buddy. You can't learn to walk in the newness of Christ. When you come to Christ, you're not an old dog anyway. You're a new creature in Christ. You want to call yourself a dog, go by all means, call yourself a dog. You're not an old dog anymore. You're a new dog. Did I hear a rough? I was thinking, where my dog's at? And then he just said that. So anyway. Whew. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will help you to change. Yes. A lot of you don't like to change. You don't like to change. You need to. You need to learn. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal God's purpose for your life. This is a great thing that it's nothing of me, but of the Holy Spirit, that he gave us this vision that we are to discover God's purpose for our lives. Who's going to help you discover that? You? Me? The Holy Spirit will. He's going to help you to discover. Who's going to help you develop godly character and relationships? Now, we'll plan some gatherings and some prayer times and some teachings and all that. We'll plan all that, but we don't develop that in you. The Holy Spirit develops that in you by telling you, hey, knucklehead, you got to change. Hey, that's great, but take it easy. You got to do this now. The Holy Spirit is the one who develops. And who is the one that encourages you or nudges you to deliver God's message of hope? The Holy Spirit will. And those moments when you're in line, the checkout counter, and the Holy Spirit says, begin to talk to that person. Begin to talk to that person. What should I say? Begin to tell them about me. Invite them to church. And all of a sudden, you're delivering God's message of hope to an unbeliever, someone who's really searching for the truth and the answers. And it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that wants to help you to change. You got to see that there is something worth changing for. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you, to develop you, to develop God's character in you. Allow him to lead you and to send you to deliver God's message. See, because we all have to deliver. I'm going to say this again. We all have to deliver. Say, we all have to deliver God's message of hope. Hallelujah. Verse 8 and 11, the Holy Spirit has purpose to convict the world of sin, of God's righteousness. I'll put that up again. John 16, 8 and 11. And when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He has a purpose. He's just not there to just, you know, give you goosebumps and just make you feel all good on, you know, on the inside. He's there to convict you. He's there to reveal righteousness, God's righteousness. He's there to also reveal judgment. The judgment that's to come. I think we already did slide 3, but go to slide 4. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit because he's always been around. The Holy Spirit is in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Holy Spirit's always been there. It's not something new, like, oh, who's this new guy on the scene? The Holy Spirit as a teacher and guide, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. The Holy Spirit filled and empowered men in the Old Testament. Look in Judges chapter 3, verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And this is Othniel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan and Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. He didn't overpower them because of how much, you know, iron he was pumping. The Spirit of God was upon him. Gideon, Judges 6:34. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet surrounding the Abiezerites to follow him. Jephthah, in Judges 11, verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And then Samson, Judges 13:25. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahaneah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Yeah, funny name. Also, Judges 14, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father or his mother what he had done. Then verse 19 of that same chapter. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. The Spirit of God moving in the lives of people, even in the Old Testament, not just the New. You know, slide 5. We need to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit because he leads us in truth and fills our hearts with his love. John chapter 14, Jesus is still talking as he was in John 16. And in verse 15, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. It's another word distinguishing who the Holy Spirit is. Another advocate who will never leave you. That's a great confidence. That's great. That's a great promise and brings confidence. Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Not some truth, half truth. Some of y'all following some half truths. Y'all need to stop. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it doesn't know him, because it's not looking for him and doesn't recognize him. That's probably the 80% right there, the Christians that don't know the Holy Spirit or even understand him, because they're not looking for him. They don't recognize his purpose and his power and the advantage that we have because of the Holy Spirit coming. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How can we love correctly without the Holy Spirit? You can. It's impossible. It's impossible for your flesh to. Because your flesh is selfish. Your flesh, and you end up getting attitudes. I mean, you know these attitudes don't come from the Holy Spirit. The attitude to go ahead and just snap at somebody. That ain't the Holy Spirit. You need to get your attitude in check. Spend some time with the Lord. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. We don't deserve it. Where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. How do I know God dearly loves us? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. How can we ever walk in perfect truth without the Holy Spirit? We can't. How can we ever love correctly without the Holy Spirit? We can't. It's impossible for our flesh to act that way. It's impossible for our flesh to lead us. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8, we find out what the flesh does. It doesn't lead us into righteousness. It leads us into sin and death. So that is a reason why we must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must allow him to help us, to yield, to lead us into truth. Jesus said it perfectly, that it was to our advantage that he sends God's Spirit to us. God sent Jesus, Emmanuel. Remember what Emmanuel means? What does it mean? God with us. Jesus says, I got to go, but I'm going to give you something. The Holy Spirit, our helper, our advocate. And Jesus says he'll never leave you. God wanted to make sure that when he sent Jesus, he was going to send himself to the earth. Because it says Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus had to go. And he says it was expedient and advantageous for him to go. But before he left, he wanted to make sure that God will still be with us. The Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is very vital that you understand he's worth yielding to. People don't like to wait. Now, if I preach for another 30 more minutes, some of you guys don't like to wait. You'll probably just get up and go. That's happened before. I'm not hurt. Seriously, I'm not. Jesus said that he would send the advocate, the helper, who wouldn't leave us and never would. And people don't like to wait. Here's some perfect examples. Checkout lines. Anybody ever get impatient in a checkout line? Be honest, especially the line that says 10 items or less, and the person in front of you's got 15, 20, a whole buggy full, okay? Doctor's office. I don't like going to the doctor's office or the dentist. Take my kids to the dentist. Because they say your appointment's at 9:30. You don't see them till 10 o'clock. Their clocks are broken. Number three. Drive-through. People get mad, especially if you don't have AC, because you have to wait. And then you're like, hey, I want my fries free. I've been waiting for a long time. So people don't like to wait. Number four, any store during Christmas shopping. Some of you don't even go Christmas shopping anymore. You do it online. Why? Because you don't want to wait. We don't want to have to mess with anybody trying to find parking space. You got to wait. Got to go around trying to find parking. Then you got to wait in the checkout line. You don't like it. People don't like to wait. Number five. This is a good one right here. Raise your hand if you can relate. Your driveway. You don't like waiting for your husband or wife. You're in the car. You got the car running. Or your kids, maybe your kids, I don't know. But you don't like to wait. But you know what? With the Holy Spirit, he's worth the wait. He's worth the wait. You know, earlier Janine had mentioned, and just challenged everyone, that there's something standing in the way. You know who reveals that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's like he's got a big mag flashlight. And he just, you know, clips off your head, and he just reveals all the hidden things inside your heart, in the back of your mind, some of the things that you forgot you did, some of the things you forgot that are a problem, some pitfalls, some things that trip you up every single time. or on occasion, maybe every Friday, because Friday's payday, hey, and the Holy Spirit reveals some things. It's the Holy Spirit that's revealing those things. He's that light. He's that candle that just is inside and is revealing the inner things of what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your life. I was going to say he's the one with the flashlight in your head and trying to find something. He can't find anything. But seriously, the Holy Spirit is that light. And he's revealing that. Our mindset must change that the Holy Spirit is worth yielding to, worth waiting on, worth allowing to help me to change. If he's my helper, then I need his help. And if I need his help, I need to go to him every day for help. You ever think about that? When was the last time you prayed to the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, help me. Help me with my mouth. Help me with my attitude. Holy Spirit, help my marriage. Holy Spirit, help me find the right job. Holy Spirit, lead me to know what to say at this interview, at this meeting. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit has been given to us. And I wonder, maybe, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I'm not here to embarrass anyone. But I wonder if there's anyone here that hasn't even prayed to the Holy Spirit this week. Now you're going to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But you have not even spoken to the Holy Spirit this week. Oh, Spirit of God. You are our advocate. You are our helper. You are our teacher. I need to talk to you more. God has given Jesus. Then Jesus said he's got to go. So he's given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Never leave us. So the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's going to help me discover God's purpose for my life. He's going to help me develop godly character. He's going to be the one that's going to help me and remind me to deliver God's message of hope. I need to talk to him all the time. Holy Spirit's not an it. He's not a sticker that you just, you know, put on. Hey, I'm Spirit-filled. And then you pull it off when you don't feel like being Spirit-filled. Or you don't feel like following. Or you don't feel like yielding. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. God has given him to you to convict you of the sin in your life, to reveal the righteousness found in God's word. He's the one that's teaching you right now. Even if you're not taking notes, he's the one that's saying, hey, you better remember that. I'm going to remind you of what you just heard. He's the one that's going to teach you. Reveal the righteousness found in God's word. Our mindset must change. Lastly, Romans chapter 6, verse 7. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit keeps sin from having dominion over you. Man, I hate it when I get tripped up over something. I don't like it when, especially when Ezra or Silas pointed out, when I say something while I'm driving. You know, and I don't cuss anybody out, and I don't, you know, point them the way to heaven. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. To be honest with you, listen, I'm not getting big-headed or I'm not sounding prideful. But the last time that I gave any hand gesture like that was 1994. Some of you are like, man, I haven't done that since last week. Allow God to change you. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to change you. He wants to change you. But listen, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit because he keeps us from having, from allowing, he keeps sin from having dominion over you. And right now, sin wants to jump on you like white on rice. And sin wants to have dominion over your flesh and over your body. So let's read what says in Romans chapter 6. Paul says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. That's a good Savior to have. One that death, Jesus isn't sweating for death. He's not sweating about death. Death don't scare him. He conquered death. Death has no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once and for all. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon you, must have been a country guy reading writing this. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have, not have. Everyone say, not have.
Not have.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Being alive in Christ is our greatest benefit as Christians. Because we're no longer living for ourselves. We're no longer dominated by sin. No longer dominated by death. But we're alive in Christ. Alive in Him, we are righteous because of Him. Alive in Him, we have freedom and victory in Him. But you know what? This doesn't mean that we are not susceptible to falling into sin. What? Yeah, verse 12 instructs us not to let sin dominate you. Not to let sin, not to allow it to dominate and rule or have reign. Do not allow it to reign and have dominance. That right there clearly says that we are susceptible to allow it to happen, to allow sin to once again have dominion over us. Because I'm alive in Christ doesn't mean that, I'm never going to fall again. Listen, you can, if it couldn't be possible, we wouldn't be instructed here not to allow it. We wouldn't get the encouragement of yield not yourselves or your members to sin or to unrighteousness. This can happen if you don't care. This can happen if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. This can happen if you're not running to the advocate for answers, for help, for direction. That can happen if you don't care. You know, the 80% of Christians at Barna Research, listen, if those 80% don't care, they're going to fall back where sin is dominating their lives again. Because they don't care. They don't choose to understand. They don't know. How can you not know? Learn to know then. Learn to know. If you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. Jesus paid the price and he did it for all. He did all the work for our salvation. We can't do anything to be righteous. Jesus already did it. And if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we are born again. We are saved. But we can foil this new life that God has freely, that God freely wants to give us. That God wants to give us. We can foil that new life by allowing sin to once again have dominance and reign in our bodies. Verse 13 tells us not to yield your members. So you know what? Don't. Stop. And if your answer is, but I can't stop, then run to the Holy Spirit because he's your helper. He's your advocate. He's the one that Jesus says, I got to go, but I'm bringing you the Holy Spirit and I'm sending him to you because he's going to be with you. And everything that he says is what the Father says. Everywhere he's going to lead you is where the Father wants you to go. But you got to allow him to lead you. You got to allow that time. You got to yield to him. Now that you know this, I hope you come to the conclusion that it's well worth the wait to yield, to wait, to render where, you know what? Not me. Holy Spirit, go ahead, lead the way. There's a lot of alphas in here, maybe. I'm not sure how many of you are alphas. Alphas meaning that if there's a group, if I have a section over here and I say, all right, you guys, all together, go to that location. There's going to be one, there's going to be several, a handful of people that are going to be the ones that will take charge and make sure everybody gets to that location. You want to take charge person. You're a take charge person. You always want to be at the front. You always want the mic. You always want the attention. Not because you just have self-confidence issue, but the fact that that's just you. You want to take charge person. Those kinds of people, like me. If we don't realize the worth of who the Holy Spirit is, we're not going to step aside and allow the Holy Spirit to lead. Why? Well, because we're going to think, well, I know where to go. I know what to do. I've done this before. It's easy from here to there. Let's go. But are we learning to just yield and wait on the Holy Spirit to lead us? There's a reason and a purpose for the Holy Spirit. And he's not just to make you feel good, but he's our comforter and he's our helper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for even right now revealing truth to people to surrender their lives to Jesus, to confess Jesus as their Lord, number one in their life, to believe in their hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. Listen, if there's someone here today, you have not confessed Jesus as Lord. You have not prayed to the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to confess him as number one, supreme authority over your life. The Holy Spirit is leading you to do that right now. Today is the day of salvation. There is nowhere in Scripture where it says wait till tomorrow, because you don't know tomorrow may never come for you. Today is the day of salvation, and the Holy Spirit is getting your attention. Yield to him right now.